Let everybody say amen. Amen. The Lord has done so much for all of us because we're still here this morning. Amen. You know, I often tell you that there are signs that show us each and every day that we're moving on in age in this life. I once told you, I remember telling you that I became so interested in a commercial that was showing grab bars for the bathtub and everything. I thought about it. I said, I guess I must be getting old. I'm concerned about getting in and out of the tub these days. But also, like this morning, I woke up this morning. I turned my heat on. I got cold. So I know time is marching on. So when you wake up in the morning and it's still warm outside, but you're cold, that's telling you something. But God has allowed us to continue to be here this morning. He has allowed us to continue to move on forward. He has allowed us to be among the living, and thank God for that. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from the 26th chapter of the book of Acts, and the verse is number 22. We'll visit that in a few moments, but let us first of all just take a moment and go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, our God and our Heavenly Father, it is once again, O Lord, that you have privileged us and blessed us, not only to be here, O Heavenly Father, on this earth, but to give us this opportunity to come out to your home, your house, O Heavenly Father, and serve thee in spirit and in truth. Father, we're looking these days for many things, and these things that we're looking for sometimes are not things that are good for us. But yet and still, O Lord, have been the same. You have stayed the same. Your word is the same. Your message is the same. And you are the same. And we thank you for that, O Lord. And we just come this morning praying and offering these prayers of thanksgiving on our behalf as well as others. We pray this morning, O Lord, for the churches of Christ all over the land, especially those who are doing the right thing, O Lord, and those who are trying to create and have their worship services to follow that of the New Testament church. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for those preachers, those teachers, those men and brethren who take part in the services, and especially those here at the local congregation. We pray for the leaders in this congregation in particular, O Lord, and that you would bless them and their families to continue on. We pray for each and every member here this morning. We pray that as we move forward in this service, O Lord, that the things that we do and say will be found favorable and acceptable in thy sight. We pray this morning, Father, for those who have lost loved ones recently. We're just praying, O Lord, that the violence in this city, in the world, O Heavenly Father, but in particular in this city, would cease. That people would stop using guns to settle arguments and just work out their differences, O Lord. And then, Father, we pray this morning for those who are sick and shut in, those who are not feeling as well as they should, and those who are in the hospitals. We pray for those behind prison bars, O Lord. We just pray and ask you, Father, to be with each and every one in this audience this morning. We pray this morning for those who are without, whatever it is they may be without, whether it be food, raiment, or shelter. Father, we just pray that you give unto them the things that they need. Father, we pray that this service will be acceptable in thy sight as we continue on forward and move in the direction of getting to heaven, O Lord. That's what going to church and serving you is all about, trying to do your will and trying to make it into the gate one day, O Lord. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for all the blessings you have presented us with. Thank you, Father, for the things that we have been given as a way of showing that you love us. You told us you would give us all that we need, O Lord. And now, my Heavenly Father, we come thanking you for those many gifts. We thank you for the air we breathe, the food we eat, and the clothes we wear on our backs, among other things, O Lord. Now, my Heavenly Father, please bless us all as we continue to move on into this service. Watch over and keep those who are in charge of this world, that they may not do anything that would be contradictory to what your word says, O Lord. Help us all to be free people to serve thee in spirit and in truth anywhere and anytime we want to, O Lord. These and all blessings we do ask in the name of your Son, Jesus. Let us all say amen, because he went to the cross for us. Amen. From that 26th chapter of the book of Acts, the Bible says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. This morning we want to talk about the help of God. Life has a way of letting us know that we can't make it without God's help. Some falsely think they can help God, but in reality it's the other way around. According to the book of Psalms in chapter 54 in the verses number 4, it spells it out for us. It says, "Behold, God is my helper. God is mine helper." How many of us were called upon to help create the world and everything in it? When God needed to decide what color to make the grass or what color to paint the seas, did he call upon any of us? I think not. When we need a Savior, when we needed a Savior, we could have helped him out. Is that correct? I don't think so. My point is this. We are not his help. He is our help. If we keep this in mind, we will be much better equipped to understand God's help to mankind. In this text for today, we have the apostle before King Agrippa defending himself. And his defense was so Christ-minded that in verse number 28 of this same chapter of Acts, King Agrippa stated that, "Paul, you almost persuaded me to become a Christian." Isn't that something? When you think about it, you almost persuaded me to become a Christian. But in verse number 22, the text of our message this morning, he gives us the truth of his defense. Look at verse 22 again. "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue until this day witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come." So how does God help us? Well, God is in the helping business. God is the one that we can call upon for whatever it is that we need. He gives us patience to wait. Oh, and patience. I found out something about patience, church. Patience is a good thing to have, but I've learned a little bit more than that, just that it's a good thing to have. I've learned that the older I get, the less patience I have, but the more I need it. Isn't that right, church? How many times have you, if you compare, say, when you went in the store at age 20 or 25, and you go in the store at age 60, you realize, I don't have the patience to deal with all these folks anymore. I don't have the patience. There's no price on this label. How do I find the price? Why don't they put the stuff, label the stuff, so I'll know what's going on? You don't have the patience you used to have as you get older. And patience is a good thing. And I know that I need more patience because I find myself getting angry with myself sometimes. And when I get angry with myself, that's not a good thing. When you get angry with yourself, you are setting yourself up for a fall. So I know that I need patience. But all I need to do is pray and ask God to grant me enough to get me through. Enough patience to get me through. The Hebrew writer wrote in chapter 11 in verse number 36. He said, "For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." When you have patience, you can withstand more than when you don't have patience. You know, and there are some folk that are so short on patience, they'd rather curse you out than answer you yes or no. But yet, have you ever tried calling a customer service area of some company or another, and the people are so, but you know what I do when I call them and they're short like that? I ask them, I say, "Oh, by the way, did you want to come to work today? Because if you didn't want to come to work, you shouldn't have come to work. You've got to deal with the public. You've got to have patience." When you deal with Christian folk, you need patience. When you deal with your spouse, you've got to have patience. When you deal with your children, you've got to have patience. Especially with our children today. Our children, so many of them are just plain outright, I can't call it anything but knuckleheads. But when you run short of patience, your life is about to change. Patience is endurance to hold on. And this text helped us to understand that the greatest thing Christians have is the promise of God's reward. If we learn to do His will, we can have His reward. Do you not remember that it was patience that carried Job through his trouble? And I know you all remember Job. It's not a Christian who has looked in God's Word that is not familiar with Job. Job, especially in chapter number 3 in Job, where he cursed his day. He wanted the day that he was born to be erased. He wanted the day that he was brought into this world to be gone forever. He wanted to die, church, because his patience was just too short. He was going through so much that he couldn't accomplish, that he couldn't go any further. And his wife even decided, why don't you just curse God and just die and forget about it? But I tell you something, church. He was a man who had lost everything that he had accomplished, yet he kept his faith intact. He said in Job chapter 14, in verse number 14, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait until my change come. You know, waiting has its own merits. You know, when you can't wait upon something, when you can't wait up, especially waiting upon the Lord, when you can't wait upon the Lord, you got some problems. A man who lost even his will to live at one point, but he allowed God to work in him. Oh, but do you remember in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1, where the Bible says, let us lay aside every weight of sin which do so easily beset us. But the best part is this, church. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You can't make it in life without patience. You can't make it in life without patience. Life is a race, and nobody goes to a race to lose. Everyone that enters into a race wants to win. Should life be any different? So ask God for patience, if you will, church. Ask God to give you what it is that you need in order to carry on. Many of us today, when life has wrapped us up and tied us up in a knot, and we need the patience the patience of Job, we just can't seem to find it. Too many of us today want to give up even before we get started good. Do you remember in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4? And not only so, but we glory in tribulation. Now, that doesn't seem right, does it? We glory in tribulation, in our troubles. We glory in our troubles, in other words. Also knowing that tribulation, this is the answer, the key right here. Tribulation worketh patience, and patient experience, and experience hope. We have to go through some stuff sometime, church. Anybody that hadn't been through any stuff, you just hold on. You just hold on. It's coming. You're going to have to go through some stuff. And when you go through some stuff, in order for us to get through it, we have to ask God to give us some patience. You know, when your husband and your wife don't want to act right, and we use that term quite frequently, she won't act right or he won't act right. What does that mean? That means he's not accommodating to you or she's not accommodating. You're not accommodating to her or she's not accommodating to you. Well, does that require patience? You better believe it. When your kids are acting up in school and you get this letter sent home to you or this phone call that says you need to come up to the school, not yesterday, but today, right now. You need to come see about your little hard-headed child. You need patience. You need patience. Look at the text again. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophet and Moses did say should come. In other words, he didn't deviate from what had already been learned by himself. So when you think about it, church, when you think about that word patience, think about where you're at on the scale of patience from 1 to 10. Are you at the very bottom, number 1, or are you at the very top, number 10? Patience is a good thing to have. And God, with His help, we can have that patience. He also gives us strength to bear. When the world seems as though it's closing in around us, when it feels as there is no hope, God, through His glorious power, can give us the strength to bear. According to Colossians chapter 1 and verses number 11, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. When Satan throws temptations at us, it is good for us to know that the God that we serve is the God of great power. When one says that I am spiritual, but then he doesn't act spiritual, you need patience and you need strength to bear. When one says that I serve the Lord the best that I can, you need strength to bear when He explains to you that by serving Him the best I can, I go to church about 3 times a year. And you know when those three times a year are. But then, what does it mean for us to be strengthened? It means that we are equipped by the grace of God for every good works and fortified against the evil works. You know the devil, he throws stuff in our way. He puts stuff out there for us. He puts stuff out there that we may trip and fall. He puts stuff out there that will throw us off and knock us out of the course of God's way. Turn over with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, starting at about verse number 14, watch what the Bible says. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. But here's what I want you to hear. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with his might by his spirit in the inner man. And by from verse number 16, we can kind of find out what the apostle is talking about. He's praying that God's spiritual blessing may come to others. When was the last time, may I ask you, that you prayed for others, that they might be strengthened? Oh, you pray for them when you know that they're sick. You might pray for them when you know that they're in need. You might even pray for them when you think that they just need prayer in general to be strong about something. But when was the last time you asked in your prayer to strengthen their soul, to strengthen the inner man that's within them? No doubt all of God's children need the prayers of others. No doubt we all need to be strengthened. But when you go back to Colossians 1:11, where the verse says, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. What does that mean? This is so that our lives may become more pleasing to the Master. We are in a never-ending battle with Satan, and we need strength from above, according to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, but against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickednesses of this world. And just so you understand the word strengthen a little better, that same word is used over when it's translated, it's used in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 13, and I know you all know this. In Philippians 4 and 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. All because of the help of God. Isn't God magnificent, church? Isn't God wonderful? You may not say it, but you need to say it. You need to let God know that He is good. He is an awesome God. He is a great God. Isn't God wonderful? God can give us so many blessings according to the Old Testament that we won't even have room to store them all. Do you understand that when you reach out and give back to God? Oh yeah, I'm getting back on giving again. I got to throw that in there, church. Because you know why? Let me explain to you why. Not so much because of the board, but because you need to just be giving to God anyway. If we surpass what our budget would be on the board, we still need to continue to give to God. But when we don't come up to it, that leaves me ammunition. But man, if God can give you more blessings than you can use, if God can give you more blessings than you can hold on to, isn't it time you say, thank you, Lord, sometimes? When Paul is praying there and asking for these blessings to come to others, that's an unselfish kind of a prayer. That's the kind of prayer that I wish you would pray for me. Pray for me, but when you pray for me, pray that I'm strengthened in the inner man. Pray for my soul. Pray that I may be better than where I am today. And when I pray for you, I'm going to pray the same thing for you, that you may be better. And I know most of you are good, if not all of you. But you still need strength to bear. You still need strength to carry on. You need strength in your inner man or in your soul, in other words. And it comes by the help of God. He gives us grace to carry on. Where does grace come from? The answer can be found in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1, where Timothy is being encouraged, and he's being encouraged by being told to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So where does grace come from? It comes from through Christ Jesus. As children of God, we must be strong to do God's work. The trials that we face can sometimes cause us to become weak, but we must find strength through the Word of God and through others. especially in our conversation. You know, in the conversation that some Christians have, it would make you ashamed to say, I know them as a Christian. With all that the Master does for us, with all that the Master gives us, with all that the Master has already done for us, with all that the Master will be doing for us, and all that the Master has done in the past for us, we need to be strengthened enough to be able to sound like a Christian in our conversations. To grow strong in that which is good, and that is in that of our love to God. Our faith must become stronger as well as our resolve. You know, when you get weak in faith, when you get weak in faith, you've got a problem. When you get weak in faith, everything tends to go in the opposite direction. When your faith is so weak that you can't seem to understand that on Sunday morning there should be nothing else on my mind but what time should I get up in order to get to church, not what time should I get up so I'll have enough time to fix breakfast and run to the store. It ought to be, will I have enough time to get to church on time? On Sunday, your conversation and your faith ought to be geared directly toward getting to the house of God. And I know there are some who say, well, who put church as second nature. They say, if I can make it, I'll get there. If I can get there, I'll be there. But if I can't make it, I'll just go next week. And then when next week comes, something else comes up. You know, if you start missing church, when you start missing church, it's going to get easier and easier and easier to miss church. You're going to find that the first one was hard. I've been so used to going to church. I need to make sure that I get there. But then if I just happen to be a little bit late, I don't want everybody looking at me, so I'm not going. Well, you know, the person that looked at you the most is the person that came in just before you anyway. And when you think about it, church, it doesn't make any difference if you are concerned about them wondering about you rather than getting your life straight with God. That's the important thing. But then that second Sunday after that first one, the next Sunday, you come up with a different excuse. I meant to shine my shoes last night, but I didn't, so I'm not going to church. You come up with everything, and nowadays we got a good excuse for missing church now. I'll go to church on the computer. I'll go to church on the computer, and then I don't have to have nobody looking at me. I can dress the way I want to. I can, but you miss some things on the computer. You miss a lot of things on the computer, as a matter of fact. You miss being in the household of faith. You miss coming to church according to Hebrews 10 and verse number 25. When the church opens the doors, when they assemble together, you ought to be there. You know what I'm trying to say. But then when you think about it, church, when you have more confidence in yourself and less in God, you've got a problem. When you've got more confidence that you can do what you ought to do and not ask the Lord or thank the Lord for Him doing what He has done for you, you've got a problem. But Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10 says it this way. It says, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. There is enough grace in the Lord for all of us, according to John chapter 1 and 17. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Church, we cannot, could not, and shall not make it except it be for the grace of God. What is grace? Grace is what God has done for us, what we've received from God. Grace is through the Son, as in Galatians chapter 1, starting around about verse number 3. The Bible says, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has given us grace, and some of us don't know how to appreciate grace. We think that grace and mercy go hand in hand, but it's actually two different things. It was the Father who cared enough to send grace, but it was Jesus who went up on the cross to give us grace. Through grace we have received salvation. Man can't give grace. Man can only say grace, but he can't give grace. All we can do is teach about grace. Do you remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, around verse
8 and 9, where Paul, after asking God twice to remove from him a thorn in his flesh, but God gave him an answer just a little bit further in verse number 9. He told the apostle that my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength is in weakness. And we've got to understand that as children of God, God's grace is already sufficient for us. All we got to do is accept the grace that He gives to us. That lets us to know that even though God might not remove our troubles, oh yeah, and Paul's trouble was not removed. But even he may not remove our troubles, but if he just allows us his sufficient grace, there's no need for us to complain. If he stops my head from hurting, I'm not going to ask him to take my head off. But some of us, we want the best of everything. We want to serve God when we want to, but want God to work for us when we want him to work for us. My time is running up. I'm keep getting a signal here, so let me hasten on to a close. In other words, sometimes we want God to give us, but we don't want to give Him. We want Him to give us everything we ask for. God, you didn't give me the last thing I asked you for, so I don't know if I'm going to ask you for anything else. Well, guess what? God is going to make it with or without you. God is going to be in charge no matter where you're at in your life. God is going to be in charge no matter what you do. The only thing that you're doing is causing yourself some problems. You're not causing God any problems. There's no need for us to complain to God when we're not doing enough for God. The Lord already understands our needs, so simply giving us His grace will carry us through. With God's help, we can all make it into heaven when it comes down to matters of God. The authority lies in the Scriptures, and the only way to follow that authority is to know the Scriptures. And the only way to know the Scriptures is that we must study them. According to 2 Timothy chapter 3, it talks of knowing the Scriptures. But then in verse number 15, it says, Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. But then in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in the verses number 15, you all know this, we find the keys to knowing the Scriptures, and that is that we must study to show ourselves approved, that we may learn to rightly divide the Word of God, and that we will understand how the help of God can help each and every one of us. Now, I've got to hasten on, so I'm going to cut this off right now and just tell you, in order for God to help you, you've got to do some things for yourself. You've got to trust in Him, number one. You've got to obey His will, number two. And you've got to make sure that you are living a righteous life. And somebody said, well, preacher, I try to do the best that I can. I try my very best to make sure I'm doing all that God wants me to. But if you've never opened your Bible, are you sure you're knowing all that God wants you to do? If you don't open your Bible, but every now and then, some of us like to use the Bible at specific times of year, like in the summertime when all reruns are on TV. I've already seen that, so I can study my Bible now. Or we like to do it in the very early part of the daytime when there's nothing on but the soap operas. Well, some people are hooked on soap operas and they can't do it then, so they have to find another time. But I tell you, the best time to study God's Word is any time and all the time. The best time to study God's Word is when the devil will get behind you when you pray to God and ask Him, open my mind, O Lord, and open my heart that I may receive Your Word. But then there'll always be somebody who say, I used to study the Bible. I used to know what the Word of God said, but I got out of the habit of doing it because I got too busy. I got real busy. I got so busy I couldn't even keep up with myself. So I didn't have time to study God's Word. Well, how do you expect the help of God to come your way? In his defense, in standing before King Agrippa there, he said everything that he did, he had the patience. He had the patience enough because of the help of God that he remembered back what Moses and the prophets had taught, and he continued to teach, and he made the king say that you almost persuaded me. And I know the feeling. How many times have preachers stood up and almost persuaded the audience to come forward? How many times has the preacher stood up and almost persuaded somebody to become a baptized Christian? And then they chicken out at the last minute. They say the water is too cold. the water is too cold and the church is not warm enough. But then in the summertime, the water is just right, but I didn't do it because I didn't want to mess up my hair. So when do you give God the credit that's due to Him? When do you let God help you? When do you give God the proper respect and the proper due? When do you allow God to work in your life? I think that most of us serve the Lord because we have been taught that it's the right thing to do. We have been taught that if we want to get to heaven, we must do the Lord's will. We have been taught that if we want to get to heaven, there's no way around going through Christ Jesus and His church. And I know that there are many of us who, because of family connections, we won't become members of the Lord's church. We say, my grandmother didn't believe in nothing but the old Methodist or the old Baptist church. I hate to say this, but grandma might be going straight to hell. I hate to say this, but grandma was wrong. I hate to say this, but you've got to learn to be right. How do I get in the Bible? How do I get in the biblical church, that's the church that's in the Bible? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But what if I've done that, preacher? Like you always say, you tell me what to do if I've already done that. Well, I'll tell you again. If you've fallen out of favor, you've fallen off the track, your race is not complete until the end this year, and you've got to stay on the course until the end comes. You can't run the race and then jump off the track and say, I'll get back in later and expect to be a winner. You'll be disqualified. Well, the same thing with God. If you don't stay in the race, you might find yourself a guilty distance from God's throne. But then, if I have made a mistake, I have stumbled along the way. Pick myself up, ask God to forgive me, walk forward, ask the church to pray for me, and ask the church to help me be a better Christian. Ask the church to help me be a strong. Ask the church to pray for my inner soul, for my soul. Ask the church to pray for the inner man in me. And the inner man in me is a tough nut to crack for some of us. But we must do it. This is what you must do if you want to become a Christian or if you want to come back as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.